This morning on WCHL, Mary Willingham and Carol Folt say they left their meeting on Monday with different definitions of its atmosphere.
It's time for me to help her to focus on the future of this university, and I need to go and focus on this issue.
Will Chapel Hill finally vote on Ephesus Fordham tonight? And Orange County reports its ninth rabies case of the year. There were 12 all of last year. These stories and much more, plus your Chapel Hill Carborough traffic and weather together. And WCHL Championship Sports. What color uniform will Diamond DeShields be wearing next season? There are a lot of schools that want her to wear theirs. Plus, the men's basketball season is no walk in the park next year. Carolina baseball team lost a close one last night at East Carolina. And we'll talk to Coach Mike Fox in just a few. And
kudos to Carol Folt for getting rid of Mary Willingham.
That's this morning in our Chansky's Sports Notebook.
This is 97.9 FM and 1360 AM WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. WCHL's Morning News with Ron Stutz begins now.
8:05 at WCHL, an unbelievable 58 degrees this morning. It is really warm out there. Expect lots of sunshine today. It is going to be windy late in the day, but a nice day and the high around 68 degrees. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt says her meeting with academic advisor Mary Willingham yesterday was never contentious, but Willingham stands by her, saying the university leader admonished her. That was on Monday. Instead, WCHL's Rand Northam has more on the story.
In an email to WCHL, the chancellor's office said she gave Willingham time to express her concerns on anything she wished, and that Chancellor Folt expressed her points of view, including her commitment to ensuring the success of all students at Carolina. The meeting lasted about 1 hour Monday afternoon. The News and Observer reported Monday that Willingham told UNC history professor Jay Smith that the chancellor berated her in the meeting. Both Smith and Willingham said they didn't use the word berated, but that she did feel like she was reprimanded in their discussion. In an interview on Monday with Carolina Week's Sports Extra, the UNC student-produced newscast, Willingham said Chancellor Folt accused her of polarizing the community. However, she said the polarization wasn't created by her, but through the interlocking of athletics and academics. Willingham said she understands she's made it hard for some people, including the chancellor, and that she knows the chancellor has a tough task ahead of her. But Willingham says she thinks Chancellor Folt will try to move the university, using the word us, forward.
It's time for me to help her to focus on the future of this university, and I need to go and focus on this issue.
Chancellor Folt said she expressed in the meeting that the issues Willingham is raising are being addressed through academic and athletic reforms, and that there are more in review.
She expressed the need to look at all students in the same way, and I expressed my opinion that these particular students who entertain us on game day, our profit sport athletes, are indeed a different cohort of students that we have here, and we certainly don't give them enough respect. And we don't give them a real education.
The description of Monday's meeting has been told multiple ways, but one fact is certain. Despite not yet handing in a letter of resignation, Willingham says she will leave UNC at the end of the semester. Willingham finished classes yesterday and says she will post grades next week. She said she will talk with her boss after posting final grades to discuss her departure from UNC. She is a key witness in the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit and says she will be focusing on the goal of reforming intercollegiate athletics from outside the university. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
There will be a packed house tonight, no doubt, for the town council meeting tonight. Chapel Hill Town Council continues what turned out to be an angry public hearing this past Monday. That's because people who showed up to voice their opinions about the Ephesus Fordham renewal plan didn't actually get to speak. The four-hour meeting was taken up with detailed staff presentations, and there was no time left for public comment. That caused some people to storm out of the packed room after about 3 hours of waiting. Council members still have a few leftover agenda items to consider. So tonight's meeting at Southern Human Services Complex on Homestead Road will begin an hour earlier than usual at 6 p.m. Items on tonight's agenda include a public hearing and a stormwater management master plan and request for construction of 109 residential units at the site of Timber Hollow Apartments. Tonight could also be the night that the council votes on the Ephesus Fordham plan, which is to rezone 190 acres near the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard in the hopes of encouraging economic development in that area. This is a very contentious issue. Expect another standing room only crowd tonight. For now, Tanisha Davis calls the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill home. Her son, a baby, was born 25 weeks early, weighing only 1 pound, 7 ounces. while he gets critical medical care at UNC hospitals. Davis said the Ronald McDonald House has proven to be a sanctuary for her family. She watched on Tuesday as ground was broken on an expansion project that will enable the house to serve more families in need and provide them with support that goes far beyond a place to call home. WCHL's Rachel Nash has more.
I didn't know a place like this existed. Everything happened so fast. I thought we were going to commute back from Fayetteville to here to see our son, which would have been hard. And so knowing that this place is here, it's a blessing. It's a blessing.
That's Davis. She was pregnant with her second son and went in for a routine checkup when she found out some news that would change her family's life. The doctor told her that she had severe preeclampsia, a rapidly progressing, life-threatening condition that affects both the mother and unborn child. Doctors told Davis that emergency surgery was necessary or both could lose their lives. She then traveled from Fayetteville, where she lives with her husband, who serves in the military, and young son, to Chapel Hill to have the procedure done at UNC hospitals. After a successful operation, she needed somewhere to stay while her infant son received the essential care he needed in Chapel Hill. She and her husband do not have family in North Carolina. Davis said that in a matter of months, the Ronald McDonald House of Chapel Hill's staff and fellow families became her support system.
It's not a place where it's a pity party. They're actually here to support you and to help you through this time, and you can make a lot of new friends here. So don't come in thinking that it's just a doomsday because your child is in the hospital, because they're going to uplift you.
Without the house, Davis said she would have had to constantly commute between her home in Fayetteville and the hospital with her two babies.
I wouldn't have been able to be without my son, like be far away from him. I'm a hands-on mom. I cry when I can't see him during the day because I have to be with my other son. But having them here and knowing that if I needed to go up there, someone would say, I'll watch him while I go up there. Like, it's like a big extended family.
Having housed more than 2,000 families of seriously ill or injured children, nearly 800 families are still turned away from the house due to lack of space. And this demand will only increase in the coming years as UNC Hospitals continues to expand. In an effort to meet the growing need for its services, the house celebrated its groundbreaking ceremony on the planned expansion that will double the facility's current square footage and increase the number of rooms from 29 to 53. Shelley Day, executive director of the house, said it became apparent in 2009 that the expansion would be necessary.
Frankly, we're all looking forward to late spring of 2015 when we will open and be able to say to every family who needs us, come on down, we have a room.
Day was joined by other members of the community, including Woody and Jean Durham, to commemorate the beginning of a project that will impact so many lives. The Durhams served as honorary co-chairs of fundraising efforts for the expansion. The house is also making history with a pediatrics care program called Loving Hands, which provides care for children facing the end of their lives through a partnership with hospice. It's the first of its kind within the global Ronald McDonald House network. For more information on how you can donate to the Ronald McDonald House Expansion Project, also known as Make Room for Hope, you can read this story on our website, chapelboro.com. Rachel Nash, 97.9 FM. WCHL.
I'm glad that Woody Durham had the chance to be there yesterday for that. That is a cause that has meant a lot to him over the years. Duke Energy says that removing all of the company's coal ash away from North Carolina's rivers and lakes would take decades and cost up to $10 billion, with the state's electricity customers likely footing nearly all of the bill. Duke's North Carolina President Paul Newton told state lawmakers yesterday the company needs flexibility to consider more cost-efficient options that include leaving much of its 100 million tons of toxic ash in place after being covered with giant tarps and soil. State officials say all 33 of Duke's unlined dumps are contaminating groundwater. Environmental groups are calling for new legislation requiring Duke Energy to move its coal ash to line landfills away from waterways following the massive February 2nd spill in Eden that coated 70 miles of the Dan River in gray sludge. We certainly have not heard the end of that story. 9 rabies cases have been confirmed here in Orange County so far this year, according to Orange County Animal Services. In total, 12 positive rabies cases were reported in 2013, and even dozens, so we're nearing that figure already. It's only April. On Saturday, an Eflin resident found a dead raccoon outside of her barn. It was later tested and found to be rabid. The resident owns 8 animals, 3 horses, 3 dogs, and 2 cats, and their potential exposure to the raccoon cannot be ruled out. 7 of the 8 animals are currently vaccinated against rabies and will get a booster shot. Unfortunately, one of the cats was not currently vaccinated and will be euthanized. Under North Carolina law, a dog, cat, or ferret that has a current rabies vaccination only has to get a booster shot within 5 days of any suspected rabies exposure. If you encounter or if your pet encounters an animal believed to be rabid, you should report it to animal services immediately. It's also advised that pets not be allowed to roam free where they can be exposed to wildlife. The Animal Services Department holds periodic low-cost vaccination clinics throughout the year. The next low-cost rabies vaccination clinic will take place on Thursday, May 8th from 5 until 7 p.m. in Hillsboro at the Public Market House Farmers Market. The cost for rabies vaccinations is $10, and only cash will be accepted at this particular clinic. Again, you can get all the details on our website at chapelboro.com. The Radio Television Digital News Association announced yesterday morning that WCHL and chapelboro.com have won 3 Region 8 Edward R. Murrow Awards for small market radio stations, put on by their peers. The awards recognize the best electronic journalism produced by radio, television, and online news organizations around the world. Chapelboro.com, WCHL's affiliated website, received the Broadcast Affiliated Website Award. Chapelboro.com not only provides a portal to all of the news and sports content created by WCHL, but also includes lifestyle and opinion content through various media, including audio, photos, and video. Our reporter Rachel Nash was honored with the Audio Continuing Coverage Award for her stories on the Moral Monday protests in Raleigh last year. Nash traveled to Raleigh for 13 weeks of demonstrations to report on the movement that sought to change the Republican-led North Carolina General Assembly's agenda. Northam received the Audio Sports Reporting Award, that's Rand Northam, for his story recapping the football game between North Carolina and North Carolina State. North Carolina Tar Heel fans remember it best as a game when Gio Bernard ran a punt back 73 yards. Just an electrifying play described by Jones Angel. That happened in Chapel Hill on October 27th of 2012. Final score 43-35, Carolina winning it. The RTDNA asked news directors from around the nation to vote on those submissions, and Rana actually served as one of the judges for regions outside our region. He was not involved in the judging for this one. RTDNA is the world's largest professional organization devoted exclusively to electronic journalism, and the Radio Television Digital News Association represents local and network journalists in broadcasting, cable, and digital media in more than 30 countries. So congratulations to the WCHL News and Sports team under the direction of the inimitable Rand Northam. And congratulations, buddy.
I appreciate that, Ron. I'll tell you, it was an honor to be a judge. That was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And also an honor to receive those awards for the station. Just an outstanding honor. And we're so grateful for everyone in the community for supporting us the way they do. But to also, you know, everybody on the staff here who does so much to make it all happen, because as I mentioned last hour, chapelboro.com is a beast of a website, and it takes every single one of us to make it happen. So a big thanks to everybody.
Yeah, and let me just say also that, you know, it's not like the old days where you did radio news stories and got them on the air, and then that's all you had to worry about.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, you guys not only do the stories and get them ready for airing and get them on the radio, but you post them on the website.
That's right.
I mean, that takes a lot of time.
Share them out on Twitter, on Facebook, on Pinterest. We're on Pinterest now. We're on Instagram, and we're also on, I'm personally on LinkedIn. I share some of my stories there as well. And so, it you know, you think of every one of those clicks, just how long it takes. So
it's
it is.
Full-time It's a full-time job, man.
It's very diverse and very robust.
And I can say also that I have worked at other radio stations during my incredibly long and career when I got into radio back in the
That's just code word for calling himself old.
The old days. So. But, you know, I worked at other radio stations where they play music, et cetera. And I can tell you without question, without one single doubt in my mind, that running a radio station like this is so much harder than any other kind of radio station. I guarantee you that our people here work harder than anybody else in the radio business. I don't care what the market is.
Well, I appreciate that.
You know,
that
with
sentiment.
More work coming out of fewer people than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm proud of you. And I also want you to know that I got in touch with Roy Williams yesterday.
Yeah.
And told him about the awards and congratulating the news team. You know what he said?
What did he say?
It's a big time freaking team.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate that, Roy. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you. You know, big time freaking team.
Yeah.
Time now for traffic and weather together on WCHL. And this traffic report is brought to you by Fifth Season Gardening, Organic Gardening, Homebrew, Hydroponics, Cheesemaking, and much more at the downtown Carborough store. Fifth Season, not your garden variety gardening store. Now, as part of a big-time freaking team, here is Rand Northman with a look at the roadways.
Well, thank you, Ron. 15501 right now northbound between Ephesus Church Road and I-40, seeing some slight delays. NC-54 eastbound between Barbie Chapel Road and I-40, also seeing some delays this morning. Otherwise, seeing fairly smooth traffic. We did have a little bit of a slowdown on I-40 heading westbound, but no accidents being reported because of that. We're just seeing minor delays between the Wade Avenue exit and maybe up to the airport. Looks like it's picking up a little bit right now, so good news there. If you see anything as you travel throughout the rest of the day, you can be a WCHL Road Warrior. Give us a call at 919-967-8363 or tweet us at WCHL. As always, we ask you do that very safely.
All right. WCHL's Chapel Hill Carborough weather brought to you by Dickie's Barbecue Pit in Durham next to New Hope Commons. Eat in, call ahead for takeout, order in advance, or arrange for catering at dickies.com. It is 58 degrees in Chapel Hill. Really warm this morning. It feels good out there. Sunny skies all day. High today in the upper 60s. It's also going to be very windy later on in the day. Tonight, clear with a low in the upper 30s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 60s. Unfortunately, there's a 50-50 chance of showers coming for Friday. And pretty warm temperatures, actually, for the weekend. On Saturday, we'll be up about 80. And on Sunday, our highs in the low 70s. So you can definitely say that we have some good weather ahead of us.
Wake up with Ron Stutz and remember that we're your station for Carolina, uniquely qualified to bring you the Tar Heels. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station. Good morning.
It is 8:21 at WCHL. Lindsay Jeffries, a recent UNC grad, is the first African-American female helicopter pilot in the North Carolina Army National Guard. She's also the first member of her family to attend college. Jeffries has always broken down all kinds of barriers on her path to success. We'll have that story coming up for you at the bottom of the hour on WCHL. Right now, it's time to turn to WCHL Championship Sports. Good morning, I'm Ron Stutz. Unfortunately, the North Carolina baseball team had a rally in the ninth inning last night that fell a little short in Greenville. Tar Heels fell to East Carolina's Pirates 3-2. Carolina now 23-18 on the year, and Tar Heels are developing a dangerous habit for the sixth game in succession. Carolina's trailed early and been forced to play from behind, and just not a good start last night for Carolina. Carolina coach Mike Fox joins us now, and thankfully, Coach, Tar Heels get a chance to return home to play in Bochimer Stadium later on today. And, of course, you have that big weekend series against Virginia Tech coming for the weekend at the Bosch. And I know that you were disappointed last night, but there are some things that can be taken out of all that, and hopefully you guys can get right back in the win column.
Well, yeah, that's you know, you hit the nail on the head. You know, we've lost, I think, 10 or 11 one-run games this year, and yeah, you're right. I mean, the first five innings of the game, we had a chance to have 10 men on base and had a chance. But here we are, you know, 18 hours later, and you know, we got another game tonight and three big ones this weekend. So you can't dwell on it too much. You have to be ready for the next game.
There was a little problem with pitching last night. It was a wild pitch. It kind of started it off for the Pirates in the third inning. But usually your pitching staff has been pretty reliable, and it's the hitting that has been inconsistent.
Well, you know, Taylor Cherry threw 10 innings for us, and really he gave us a good start. And, you know, kind of what we wanted out of him, and he let the one pitch get away from him with a runner at third. And our margin for, you know, for winning right now is just pretty thin, and, you know, we can't make mistakes like that, and we get behind. And, Trevor Kelly came in and did a nice job, and we pitched well enough, you know, to win. We just left too many men on base early in the game, and, you know, when you kind of rally and then ninth inning on the road, you get the crowd, and certainly you get the other team's best pitcher, and it's a little bit of an uphill climb. So we hopefully will, you know, have a different MO, you know, tonight against, you know, against a real good Liberty team, and this weekend.
Well, you know, in baseball, there's so many games. You don't have a lot of time to dwell on what happened last night. As you said, you got another one coming up tonight, and this is actually a pretty good baseball team coming in here.
Liberty's very good. Everybody we talk to says they're the real deal, and Their RPI is in the 20s, and they have over 30 wins. And we haven't talked to one coach that's played them that says they're not one of the best teams that they've played. So, you know, they had a big win last night, and we'll have our hands full tonight.
Coach, I know that you have a very important ACC series coming up this weekend, and again, hopefully we'll get some good weather for everybody to come out to the Bosch and be a part of the Carolina baseball experience.
Well, it looks that way. You know, hopefully finally warmed up, and this is the last weekend of classes, and so we expect a good student, you know, turnout. You know, Friday's the last day of class form, and we got a lot of activities going on. Of course, the fireworks on Saturday, and it's all leaguers weekend, so we're bringing back a number of our former players, which will be exciting. We're honoring two former teams, the 64 and the 89 team, and that'll be great. You know, the 64 team went undefeated in the ACC. The 89 team, went to the College World Series, so we're excited about having all those folks back.
That's going to be really cool, and I know that one of the things you mentioned earlier when we talked to you is your guys have had a lot on their minds lately, not just playing baseball. You know, they've had exams and all of that kind of thing, and sometimes it really is hard to balance all of that activity in a single day.
Well, it is. I mean, it's part of it. Baseball is one of those repetition sports, and you play a lot, and you have to expect that. The players that have been through it before, they understand and have a little bit better grasp on it. As the freshmen, you have to keep an eye on. They've never been through this before, and they don't play well, or they're disappointed. You know, they get on the bus, and there you go, and they need to be studying. So it's a matter of a little bit of a self-discipline and being able to kind of compartmentalize things. And but that's a challenge. I mean, that's the challenge of being a student athlete. It's their choice. You know, they want to play. They know there's 60 games in a season, and we try to prepare them for that as much as we can with the time management thing. But, you know, saying it and doing it, as we all know, are two different things.
Well, Coach, you, as everybody knows, you have done a great job turning this Carolina baseball program into a perennial contender for a trip to the College World Series. And thank you for all that you do. I know you work awfully hard. And also, good luck for this game tonight, the games this weekend, and the rest of the season.
Well, thank you. Yeah, we're going to keep plugging. I appreciate the comments. And, we still can do some things this season. You know, we got 9 really important league games left, and we can still make some noise here. So our season is not over by any stretch of the imagination, and we're going to crank it back up tonight and this weekend and play hard, and hopefully the crowds will come out, and it'll be a beautiful weekend.
Absolutely. Coach Mike Fox, thank you so much, and have a great day. I look forward to talking to you again.
All right, Ron. Thank you. Bye-bye.
827 at WCHL. I'm Ron Stutz.
Our Chansky Sports Notebook, exclusively on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Kudos to Carol Folt for getting rid of Mary Willingham. This is our Chansky with Wednesday Sports Notebook. Not many details have surfaced about Mary Willingham's decision to leave the university. She has not submitted a letter of resignation, and the announcement came after a meeting with Chancellor Folt, who supposedly expressed disappointment and displeasure with Willingham's methods, if not her intentions. Good for you, Chancellor, for taking a strong stand towards someone who, unwittingly or not, did tremendous damage to your university's reputation. Whether or not you believe Willingham had the right to come forth after 7 years of laying low, her naivety and stupidity of going to the national media should not be tolerated by any organization that employs her. Faculty and staff have every right to express their views through the proper internal channels, but that's where their opinions need to stay until it is clear that the institution is incapable or unwilling to solve legitimate problems. With a new administration, Willingham could not have taken her case publicly at a worse time, and most likely she lost her job because of it. If the faculty does not understand the influence and importance of major college athletics to the overall brand of the university, it still needs to keep all complaints and concerns inside before brazenly brandishing opinions and information that could readily injure its employer. Sure, tenured faculty members like Jay Smith may feel like they're bulletproof, but they should still be censored and reprimanded by the school for trumpeting personal base biases. Smith can't be fired even if he comes out with his critical book about the athletic scandal. But his stand should not be accepted by the administration. The university has pledged to clean up whatever went wrong, and Smith should be treated as a conspirator by continuing to make inflammatory suggestions that misrepresent the true mission of the athletic department. At the very least, the masses that support athletics, as broken as that enterprise may be, should see faculty like Smith as enemies of their total university. Most people don't want to work where they are only comfortable within their own little circle. Maybe Smith will be one of those people and also choose to leave. This is Art Chansky. See ya.
He is a virtuoso with chops that defy comparison, says the New York Times of Yefim Bromfman, who joins the North Carolina Symphony for Beethoven's youthful second piano concerto. Bromfman plays Beethoven, and Grant Llewellyn leads Prokofiev's Defiant, Sixth Symphony. Yefim Bromfman tickets start at only $18. Call 919-733-2750 now, or click on Ticketmaster.com. April 24th in Chapel Hill at UNC's Memorial Hall, and April 25th and 26th at Maimandy Concert Hall. Yefim Bromfman plays Beethoven with your North Carolina Symphony.
Beethoven.
Ach, I'm trying to compose my ode to joy, but how can I be joyous when I'm so hungry?
Why don't you try Bread Mints? They've got everything from sandwiches to scrambled eggs. It's my favorite spot in town.
Gott in Himmel, that's it! Breakfast, lunch, and dinner daily. Lots of food, not much to pay. Go to Bread Mints, come to Bread Mints. Eat at Bread Mints every day.
Bread Mints Restaurant, a Chapel Hill tradition.
You're a genius, Beethoven.
Dankeschön.
All right, it's really quickly here, your Chapel Hill Carpenter weather. Sunny skies today. High today in the upper 60s. It's going to be windy later on in the day, but all in all, really good weather. No complaints.
ChapelBorough.com is more of what you live here for. If it's happening where you live, you can find it on 97.9 FM. WCHL's website, ChapelBorough.com.
Dave Barrett, a discovery of debris on a beach in southwestern Australia. Nothing, though, to confirm that it's part of Malaysia Flight 370. Still, says reporter Scott Maiman,
we are being told that the material is metallic. It's about 6 to 7 feet long.
But, says correspondent Elizabeth Palmer,
until the object can be moved to the search coordination facilities, Australian authorities are examining photographs of it, which was washed up on the beach. They have not made those images public yet. We haven't seen them, but they did send copies of the photos to the Malaysian investigation team.
Scott Maiman,
the pictures that are being sent to Malaysia, they've also been studied by the Australian Transportation Safety Bureau. And at the moment, the boss of the Bureau here at Australia is saying the more he looks at the photos, the less likely he expects it to be that of MH370.
239 people were aboard when that jet disappeared from radar on March 8th. CBS News Update, I'm Dave Barrett.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech Community College. Want a head start on college or career skills? A great opportunity awaits you at Durham Tech. Online at durhamtech.edu.
WCHL News, Talk and Tar Heels at 97.9 FM, WCHL.
8:32 at WCHL. We have 58 degrees in Chapel Hill. Sunny skies today and windy later on in the day. I'm Ron Stutz. UNC Chancellor Carol Folt says her meeting with academic advisor Mary Willingham was never contentious. Willingham, however, stands by her, saying that the university leader admonished her. WCHL's Rand Northam has more.
In an email to WCHL, the chancellor's office said she gave Willingham time to express her concerns on anything she wished, and that Chancellor Folt expressed her points of view, including her commitment to ensuring the success of all students at Carolina. The meeting lasted about 1 hour Monday afternoon. The News and Observer reported Monday that Willingham told UNC history professor Jay Smith that the chancellor berated her in the meeting. Both Smith and Willingham said they didn't use the word berated, but that she did feel like she was reprimanded in their discussion. In an interview on Monday with Carolina Week's Sports Extra, the UNC student-produced newscast, Willingham said Chancellor Folt accused her of polarizing the community. However, she said the polarization wasn't created by her, but through the interlocking of athletics and academics. Willingham said she understands she's made it hard for some people, including the chancellor, and that she knows the chancellor has a tough task ahead of her. But Willingham says she thinks Chancellor Folt will try to move the university using the word us forward.
It's time for me to help her to focus on the future of this university, and I need to go and focus on this issue.
Chancellor Folt said she expressed in the meeting that the issues Willingham is raising are being addressed through academic and athletic reforms, and that there are more in review.
She expressed the need to look at all students in the same way, and I expressed my opinion that these particular students who entertain us on game day, our profit sport athletes, are indeed a different cohort of students that we have here, and we certainly don't give them enough respect. And we don't give them a real education.
The description of Monday's meeting has been told multiple ways, but one fact is certain. Despite not yet handing in a letter of resignation, Willingham says she will leave UNC at the end of the semester. Willingham finished classes yesterday and says she will post grades next week. She said she will talk with her boss after posting final grades to discuss her departure from UNC. She is a key witness in the Ed O'Bannon lawsuit and says she will be focusing on the goal of reforming intercollegiate athletics from outside the university. Rand Northam, 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Get ready for the heat tonight. The Chapel Hill Town Council will continue what turned out to be an angry public hearing on Monday night. That's because people who showed up to voice their opinions about the Ephesus Forum renewal plan did not actually get to speak. The four-hour meeting was taken up with detailed staff presentations, and there was no time left for public comment, and that caused some people to storm out of the packed room after about 3 hours of waiting. Council members still have a few leftover agenda items to consider, but tonight's highlight will, of course, be the discussion on that. Tonight could be the night that the council votes on the Ephesus Fordham plan, which is to rezone 190 acres of land near the intersection of Ephesus Church Road and Fordham Boulevard in the hopes of encouraging economic development in the area. So expect another standing room only crowd. That is tonight, 6 o'clock, Southern Human Services Center on Homestead Road. Lindsay Jeffries, a recent Carolina graduate, is the first African-American female helicopter pilot in the North Carolina Army National Guard. As the first member of her family to attend college, Jeffries has always broken down barriers on her path to success. Carolina Connections' Reese Adamola spent a day with Jeffries in Salisbury, North Carolina, to learn more about her journey.
Every morning, Second Lieutenant Lindsay Jeffries drives to the Salisbury Aviation Unit. At the unit, she flies and conducts tests on the Black Hawk helicopters. She says it's not the idea of flying that excites her.
Even when I'm not flying, just putting on this uniform, I was just like, I look good, you know?
After taking a good look in the mirror, Jeffries makes her way in her tan combat boots and army camouflage uniform to the helicopter flight line.
When I look over at the helicopter running up and you hear that sound of the auxiliary power unit coming on, it's so great. This is the part I love. And then when I see them flying in the sky, my heart smiles. I really do love it.
Jeffries graduated from UNC in 2012 with a degree in psychology. While in college, she joined the ROTC to help pay her tuition. She was first exposed to the aviation field in high school at an Air Force Junior ROTC program. Since then, she has not turned her back.
I love the military. I love the Army. I love the National Guard of North Carolina, more specifically.
She says her career is a constant study on learning and relearning about the technicalities of Black Hawk helicopters.
So for the Black Hawk, you're going to have two pilots, one on the left side of the aircraft and one on the right side. They're going to be simultaneous controls where it allows for either pilot to control the helicopter.
Jeffries sits on the right side, and the left side is for experienced pilots. She's only 23 years old and is one out of only four women in her aviation unit. Her mentor, Sergeant Deanna Zagner, has been in the military for 23 years.
How are you?
Good, ma'am. How are you?
It has been a while since I've seen you.
Zagner says women in general have to work twice as hard in a male-dominated environment.
When I first came in, I was in the Air Force, and I had a supervisor who thought females in the military were secretaries, and he thought I should go get his coffee.
Now working as a maintenance supervisor, Zagner never allows her gender to derail her from moving up the ladder in the military.
He ended up PCSing to another state and then ended up getting kicked out. So here, I'm still here.
Jeffries says that she has not encountered any form of sexism or discrimination during her time in the military.
This career field, it can't be based on anything but your skills. You can't be like, well, we're going to put her there because she's a girl. We need a girl. That's just... irrational. You have to meet the same standards and the same qualifications as everyone else.
She says being named the first African-American female helicopter pilot in the North Carolina National Guard is an honor and hopes her title continues to break more barriers for everyone. In Salisbury, this is Reese Adamola.
Reese Adamola is a reporter with Carolina Connection, the radio news magazine of the UNC School of Journalism and Mass Communication, a program done entirely by UNC students. It airs every Saturday morning at 8:30 on WCHL during the academic year. Its final show of the year airs this weekend. The year-in-review show will air on May 10th, again here on WCHL. It's 8:39. I'm Ron Stutz, and Zach Godwin, chapelborough.com, joins me now. And Zach, first of all, I know you're here to talk about what's happening at the Twitter desk. But congratulations to chapelborough.com for winning that big award yesterday.
Thanks, Ron. We're pretty excited about it. We were bragging about it yesterday, and now we've just got to get back to work and try to win it again next year.
Well, you can't, you know, it's just like the Carolina baseball team. You can't worry too much about what happened yesterday because there's always something else happening today. So,
exactly.
I just wanted to congratulate you before you, and congratulate you on those accolades. Very well deserved. Chapelborough.com, not only a website for the radio station, but there's so much there on there about what's happening in the community and photo galleries of everybody and just really cool stuff. So I know that yesterday you were in here talking about this Earth Day thing that we're doing with selfies. What's that all about?
Well, there's a worldwide thing that was going on to take selfies for Earth Day, and we're doing Chapelborough selfies where we want to see you out and about town. So I know everybody out there has got a cell phone, and just snap a picture of yourself wherever you are. Send it into us, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Just use the hashtag ChapelboroughSelfie, and we'll get it. And we've got a gallery on the website where we'll be posting the photos. And we'll even be giving away a $50 gift card at the end of the week.
Yeah.
To our favorite picture, the coolest picture, whichever one.
The most interesting photo.
Yeah, just... And but we just want to see where you guys are out and about in town.
Tell us who you are and where you are.
Exactly.
In our community. That's pretty cool stuff. So hopefully we'll get a lot of those today, a lot more of those. And what else is happening at the Twitter desk?
Well, tonight is World Book Night.
Mm-hmm.
And it's on Twitter, hashtag WBN2014. And it's being celebrated locally. Susan Brown of the Chapel Hill Public Library clued us in about it. And it's an event that is actually pretty organized. There's an organization behind it just called World Book Night. And there's a list of books that they just give out tonight. And I'm not sure if all of these will be in Chapel Hill being given out. They're giving them out at the fire station today, so you can drop by there.
Mm-hmm.
And they're giving out books. But on the official World Book Night website, there's looks like about 40 or 50 books. There's, you know, classics like Catch 22, Bridge to Terabithia. There's a movie a book that was recently made into a movie, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. There's an Agatha Christie, After the Funeral. There's a book by Garrison Keillor. And there's just tons of other books that I haven't even heard of, and I should probably stop by there because I haven't heard of them.
Yeah, are you going to try if you might to chase down Susan Brown, which not easy to do, is it?
Right. but they've been tweeting about it, the Chapel Hill Public Library, and they'll be giving them out at the fire station, like
mm-hmm.
I said.
All right.
And it's just a great thing to help people find new books, maybe find an old classic they haven't read in years. But it's just a great thing to get people reading in our community.
All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot. If people want to get in touch with us via Twitter, and how do they do that?
It's just at Chapelborough or at WCHL. We love hearing from you.
All right. Zach Godwin, thank you so much.
Thanks.
This just in from Rand Northam in the newsroom. We've received information that Catherine Perkins is a missing person. Updated information on her. She was seen in Pittsburgh on April 5th until law enforcement is able to contact her and ensure her well-being. She remains reported as missing. If you have any information that would enable us to contact her, please call the Chapel Hill Police Department. The police department is currently seeking help in locating Catherine Lorena Perkins, a 51-year-old white female Date of birth, 9-3-62. She's 5'7". Her weight, about 135 pounds. Red hair, hazel eyes. Last seen March 29th. Well, she was actually seen in Pittsburgh on April 5th, but she is missing as far as the police department is concerned. A silver alert has been issued. We'll have her photo and more information on our website at chapelbrew.com. Go and check that out and see if you can help find her. 8:43 at WCHL's Ron Stutz, and all kinds of things going on in the community. And real quickly here, let's turn to a couple of the leading action adults in Orange County. Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Cragwell is here from the Chapel Hill Carborough YMCA. How you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing great, Ron. Hope you are.
All right. Yes, sir. And Kevin and Patrick McIntyre from the Orange County Partnership for Young Children. How you doing, Patrick?
Hi, Ron. How are you?
All right. I know that you guys always get together and collaborate on Healthy Kids Day. So, first of all, Patrick, what is Healthy Kids Day all about?
Healthy Kids Day is a fun event. We try to get families in Orange County out, have a good time. It's about fun and learning. We have music, games, giant bounce houses. Let's not lie to ourselves. We're all there for the giant bounce houses. But along with all that great fun stuff is we have organizations from around the county that serve young children and families come out, provide information and interactive activities. And that's probably it is the most important part, to get that information out about all those services.
Kevin, how does the Chapel Hill Carborough YMCA fit into all this? And I know you're excited about this, too.
I am. It is a fun event that I look forward to every year. And if I may just expand on the whole Healthy Kids Day, it is, in fact, a YMCA initiative that was started approximately 20 years ago and is celebrated nationally. Most Ys across the country engage in a Healthy Kids Day, or in some cases it has evolved to Healthy Families Day, the primary focus of which is to provide opportunities for kids to not only be physically active, especially during the summer months, but also how can we help them remain intellectually engaged? Because we all know that sometimes during the summer months, the things that they are actively involved in throughout the school year start to wane, and they kind of lose that opportunity to keep themselves active, both mentally and physically. And that's one of the things that Healthy Kids Day tries to do on this day, is we bring these organizations together that have programs throughout the summer to allow the kids to remain active both mentally and physically.
I'm confident that anything the YMCA is involved in nationwide, the Chapel Hill Carborough YMCA will be right there at the forefront, because you guys do so many great things in the community.
Indeed.
And every time I see you, you have a smile on your face because you love your job so much.
Absolutely.
You love working with these kids, don't you?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. When is Healthy Kids Day? We didn't say that. And when is it going to take place?
Sure. Healthy Kids Day will be this Saturday, and it will be at the Chapel Hill YMCA at 980 Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. And it'll be from 12 to 4 p.m. And it appears the weather committee did their job, because the forecast looks beautiful and sunny and dry, most importantly. And we'll have a bunch of different things. Orange County Health Department has been significant, and especially with the Partnership for Young Children, in getting their other organizations and departments with us, from the Orange County Health Department Nutritional Services, Orange County Cooperative Extension. The Master Gardeners are going to be there. They're going to show kids how to plant and compost. We're going to have nature walking, nature play. Carborough Farmers Market is going to be there. They're going to have veggie samples and just help kids understand the importance of eating quality foods. Orange County Early Head Start is going to be there. They're going to have a My Plate craft game for the kids. The Kids Zoo Museum is going to come out, and they're going to have arts and crafts.
Yeah.
Orange County 4-H, just a bunch of different organizations and fun games that are going to be activity-based. And then, of course, Patrick's group is going to do the Healthy Classroom Challenge.
And, Patrick, aside from the bounce houses, I know you're excited about this Healthy Classroom Challenge. Tell us all about that.
Sure. We're actually in our fifth year. We work with the Orange County Health Department as well on this project. They're a collaborator. And what that entails is, during the month of March, participating classrooms teach the Eat Smart, Move More message campaign, which involves drink more water, get your 30 minutes of activity, and so on and so forth. And what then they do, the classrooms do, is then work for a couple weeks on creating a skit, a a routine, a song, a play, anything. And that's been going on, like I said, for 5 years. Then they come to Healthy Kids Day and they perform that. Mm-hmm. So this year we've got 7 classrooms that are going to come. That's well over 100 children and families that get to come and see these kids, kind of the information that they've learned come to fruition. And we've got ages ranging from pre-K all the way up till first grade. So that's a pretty healthy range of children. And so you have everybody from a child just walking up that is very scared in front of a mic and has made a giant orange, and they just say that they're an orange and they're healthy, all the way to elaborate skits with, you know, different clothes and makeup and things like that. So,
Kevin, how do folks find out more about this website?
They can go to the website at chcymca.org, or they could, in fact, give us a call at 919-442-9622.
Well, I appreciate both of you coming in this morning. And, folks, if you want to go out on Saturday to Healthy Kids Day, you might meet Orange County's own version of the Righteous Brothers here. You guys both be there. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ron.
And
we'll
talk to you guys later. It's 849 at WCHL. Coming up, commentary on the way from Terry Tyson. Also, D.G. Martin is straight ahead and a very special WCHL hometown hero.
It's time for Shredathon 2014. There are 2 free Shredathons this month. Thursday, April 24th, University Mall in Chapel Hill. Saturday, April 26th, Hampton Point in Hillsboro. Both events are from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Orange County residents and small businesses may confidentially destroy their personal documents at no cost. There's a limit of 5 banker boxes or 5 large bags of paper per person. All shredded paper will be recycled. No plastic or metal. For more information, call 919-968-2788. The dates again are April 24th and 26th. For the Spring Shredathon.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
Vote Jimmy Doster for Durham School Board. Vote early April 24th through May 3rd at the Durham South Regional Library or downtown Durham at the Board of Elections office.
Hi, I'm a kid. We support Jimmy Doster. Please vote Jimmy Doster for the Durham School Board on May 6th.
Paid for by Vote Jimmy Doster.
At Harrington Bank, it pays to be a customer. As your local community bank, we are working on the best ways to earn you more money, which is why we offer competitive CD rates like our current special of 0.5% APY for 9 months with a minimum balance of $500. Call or stop by one of our 3 convenient locations in Chapel Hill to learn which account is right for you. We are located in Southern Village, Martin Luther King Boulevard, and the intersection of Highway 54 and 40. Harrington Bank. You deserve banking like this.
Good morning.
Member FDIC.
Good morning. It is 8:51 at WCHL.
Now on WCHL, a page from D.G. Martin's notebook.
Friday Vacation Land. Hey, do you remember that old slogan from North Carolina? Well, here's a new one for our state. Variety Literature Land. Let me demonstrate the great variety of North Carolina authors and book topics using examples from upcoming editions of UNC-TV's North Carolina Book Watch. First of all, in the New York Times Magazine recently, Carborough's Krista Brenner wrote about a gift from her mother-in-law, a blanket over 12 feet long that she wove herself over 2 years using wool from sheep she raised. Well, that blanket could have been an introduction to Brenner's new book, My Accidental Jihad, which tells the story of her courtship, marriage, and life with a man she met jogging one day in Chapel Hill, a gray-haired man with a thick accent whose conversation was peppered with references to Allah. He came from Libya, and she said was older and darker and poor and more foreign than the husband I planned to have. The husband of my dreams did not put his forehead to the ground to pray in an apartment that was pungent with strange spices and carry on passionate Arabic phone conversations with his Libyan family. It sounded like a heated arguments. Well, how Brenner and her husband have made the variety of their upbringings and beliefs into a long-term and successful family is a compelling and instructive story. Now, thinking of variety, what about the variety of different ways North Carolina people talk? In their new book, Talking Tar Heel, How Our Voices Tell the Story of North Carolina, NC State professors Walt Wolfram and Jeffrey Reeser teach their readers that the various groups of peoples who settled North Carolina have given us a treasure chest of different speech patterns, from the hoitoiter speech of the Outer Banks to the mountain dialects that still carry 200-year-old phrases from the British Isles. And then there's Wilmington-based Wiley Cassius. His debut novel from 2 years ago called A Land More Kind Than Home made history this week, debuting at number 12 on Sunday's New York Times combined print and ebook fiction bestseller list. That's coming 2 years after its publication. A mystery. But we don't have to wait that long to hear Cash talk to Bookwatch viewers about his second novel called This Dark Road to Mercy. It describes a variety of personal disasters and high crimes that follow the unsuccessful career of a Gastonia baseball minor league professional player. Finally, Drew Perry's new novel, Kids These Days, illustrates the variety of ways North Carolinians deal with the disruption of the financial crisis. It tells a story of a Charlotte mortgage banker who loses his job in the recession and moves to Florida to partner with his wife's brother-in-law, whose businesses draw the attention of state and federal law enforcement officials. Amazingly, Perry makes this story both funny and poignant. So, there you have it. A rich variety for your reading this spring. And what do you think? Would variety literature land fit on your license plate? This is D.G. Martin.
Thank you, D.G. Hey, listen, you got to hear this. Today's WCHL hometown hero. I am really proud of this person. It is 8:54 at WCHL.
This is Gerald Ramoyne, General Manager of Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill. We're proud of the performance promise, and we're proud of our community, too. That's why Performance Auto Mall highlights a great community service demonstrated by today's Village Pride Award honoree.
Vivian Connell is today's WCHL hometown hero.
You really appear to be on a mission. You've committed to taking your entire school, about 32 students, 13 staff members, to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C.
Inspiring and empowering students to participate in democracy. It's what I think we ought to do in education. Taking these kids to see what happened when people were silent about injustice, particularly discrimination against a particular group of people, and how that led to genocide. That is a particularly powerful tool, I hope.
There's another part of this story. Vivian has been diagnosed with ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. She knows she doesn't have much time. She wants to make every minute count.
No matter how much time I have, if it's the classic 3 to 5 years, or if I'm blessed to be a very rare person who has quality of life beyond 5 years, or if I go more quickly than that, in the time that's remaining to me, I have to choose to enjoy each day, to maximize each opportunity. That is absolutely what I intend to do. I have this opportunity to deliberately craft a legacy, and I have opportunity to spend some very intentional time on this earth, and especially with my children, and I don't want to be ungrateful for that.
Just having a conversation with Vivian Connell is inspirational.
I think I'm just trying to do my best and be as gracious as possible and grateful for the opportunities I've had.
Vivian's been a teacher for decades. She's been involved in education in one way or another for a lot longer. At the age of 46, she decided to go to law school. This is a woman who can't be stopped.
Now, are you in a situation where you have the money you need for the trip now, or are you still taking contributions?
As of today, we believe that we are fully funded. A donor reached out from across the country, from California, and said, I want to make this possible. He did not want to be outed.
There's a hero. Remain.
He's a hero. Absolutely. And I noticed that some of my high school students who are freshly graduated in their entry-level jobs had made donations. They're heroes.
Vivian says what she's doing now is no more heroic than what dedicated teachers do in the classroom every single day.
There are 5 stories like that in every school going on right now.
We appreciate what you're doing and wish you all the best. It really is going to leave a legacy.
Appreciate the support of this entire community, of all the people who've reached out, the support staff at Chapel Hill Carrboro City Schools who've jumped in to help promote and facilitate it. We really do have a wonderful community.
I know you're not going to like this when I say it, but Vivian Connell, you are today's WCHL hometown hero.
Thank you.
Performance Auto Mall is proud to put today's Village Pride Award honoree in our spotlight. And remember, at Performance Auto Mall in Chapel Hill, we carry Acura, BMW, Chevrolet, Porsche, and Subaru. But we also have access to nearly 4,000 pre-owned automobiles. At Performance Auto Mall, we can find your next automobile, no matter the brand. We promise.
Oh, what a great story. You remember Wayne Pond's word of the day? What is the word? What does it mean? How do you spell it? 919-929-WCHL is your number to call. You can get a $10 gift card to Cruisers if you know those answers.
Bring the kids, welcome your neighbors, and leave the work week behind. Hi, this is Michelle at the Carolina Inn, inviting you to join us for the first Fridays on the Front Porch of the season on April 25th, starting at 5 p.m. Fridays on the Front Porch provides the perfect atmosphere for kicking back, relaxing, and getting a jump start on the weekend. Enjoy great food, live music, and fun times under the shady oaks and magnolia trees. There is no cover charge or reservations to attend. For more information, visit CarolinaInnEvents.com.
Hi, this is Sean Sloan, owner of Twig. With summer just around the corner, I'm happy to say our newest line of women's eco-fashions has arrived. With perky new colors, our Yala bamboo rayon skirts, tops, and dresses have a flattering and elegant look while being comfy enough to sleep in. This summer, look stunning and feel great. So bring your beautiful self. We're located on Elliott Road next to Whole Foods. Twig, where it feels good to wear green.
Moms love healthy gifts from Massage Envy Spa.
For me, this is my day to relax, find balance, and feel loved. The love part is covered. Massage Envy Spa will handle the rest.
It's rejuvenating. The stress is gone, and it never felt better to be mom.
Through May 11th, treat all the moms in your life to Massage Envy Spa. Purchase one gift card, get the second one half off. Come visit clinics in Eastgate and South Point for gift cards at buy one, get one half off. Or call 1-800-944-ENVY.
This hour of the morning news is presented by Durham Tech, offering affordable and accessible quality education throughout Orange and Durham counties. Visit durhamtech.edu and click on Continuing Education.
Well, it's going to be a really nice day today. A lot of sunshine. It's going to be windy later on in the day. Our high today, about 68 degrees. Right now, it is 59 degrees in Chapel Hill. No complaints on today's weather.
Local news all day. Breaking news whenever it happened. This is 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
It's 9 o'clock.
Carolina baseball.
Russell throws to second base, and it's Omaha for Carolina.
WCHL, Chapel Hill, Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
CBS News, I'm Frank Settapani. Time was getting to be middle class in America was like having it made, but that's apparently not the case these days.